certainly thankful and appreciative of the prayer that has gone before, and I ask that you continue in prayer for us for the time we stand before thee. I know that we read in Scripture there were some brethren blessed to preach with the Holy Ghost sent down. The only way preaching takes place is if God blesses. I ask you to continue in prayer for us, because as preachers know, the worst thing that hinders a preacher is the same thing that hinders God's children, and that's this old flesh and our frailties thereof. So please pray for us for the time we stand before you. This evening, I suppose it's Friday. I asked somebody at the lunch table what day it was. Seems like it's been a real long one day, but with naps in between. But it's a Friday night, and we've been blessed to gather with the saints. A lot of people would probably think, which I know folks that I work with, they say, well, you're going to be off? How long are you going to be off? I say, well, I'm going to be off Wednesday through Friday. I'll be back on Monday. Y'all going on vacation? So we're going to the church meeting. Of course, the brother that worked with me. But you know, these folks that think you're slap nuts taking your vacation time when you have this, you know, to go and be with brethren. But I'll ask you this, brethren. If the Lord blesses and the Lord's with us, there's not a better place to be on the face of the earth. There's a better place to be, but it ain't on the face of the earth. It's home. It's home. When the Lord blesses His children to come together, and we're blessed to be able to see Him high and lifted up. Brother, I'm going to tell you, we rejoice in that. What is it, and who is it? And I'll read the verse over in 1 Corinthians in the 4th chapter, in the 7th verse. It says, "For who maketh thee to differ from another?" I've often thought where I might be without the blessings of the Lord. I've often thought without the blessing of the Lord where I might be this night, as opposed to being here with you, where I might be. For who maketh thee to differ from another? Why is it, and what is it, that maketh thee to differ? Well, you know, this is the Old and New Testament. A testament. One of these days when I leave this old world, there'll be a reading of the last will and testament of Luke Laird. And if there might be anything left when I leave, my boys or whoever's in my will, my heirs, will gather for the reading of that testament. Now, you're welcome to come if you want to. But if your name's not listed in that testament, man, I don't think it's going to do you a whole lot of good as far as it being beneficial unto you. But when you come and we have a part in something, over there in Ephesians he says, "In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." When that gospel being proclaimed is not just something that Christ has done for somebody, but when it says it's something He's done for me, brother, I know that our Lord is a personal Savior. He is. Because He knows the very hairs of your head. And it's a scary thought to contemplate that the Lord knows us far better than we know ourselves. That is a fearful thing for me. Because I know what things I wrestle with in my life, and the Lord knows what things I wrestle with in my life. Brother, He knows His children by name. Who maketh thee to differ? Why is it that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us, which are saved? You just back up right here just one little bit there. 18th verse of the first chapter in the same book. "For the preaching of the cross to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Brother, the preaching of the gospel is a deliverance. It's a power. It's a help for the saved. But have you ever contemplated why it is or how it is that you have the capacity or the ability to hear the gospel? For who maketh thee to differ? Or what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Well, if we could just comprehend that, if the world could comprehend this statement right here, the religious world would be in a lot better shape. I'll pose this question to you in this way. Know ye not that you're not your own? You're bought with a price. Now, if I left here and went down to wherever the closest place was that sold automobiles, and I walked in there and said, here's a dollar, I want to test drive one of your new vehicles, and I left there with it and went back to Alabama, they would probably issue a warrant for my arrest. Now, the reason they would do that is because the vehicle that I just took is more than likely worth more than a dollar. I would have to have something of equal or greater value to purchase that vehicle. And $1 is just not going to get it. When you think about the fact, and I often think back about the fact that there were some sacrifices offered over there with Cain and Abel. There was a sacrifice that was accepted. There was one that was not accepted. There's a beautiful picture in that we see in the very beginning. But nonetheless, one of the things is I want you to think about the fact that Cain, being a tiller of the ground, offered that which from the earth was earthy. Now, when you go back and you look at the curse, who was the curse upon for the transgression? It was upon Adam, it was upon Eve, it was upon Satan, and it was upon the ground. Now, there's another place in Scripture I like to go. I love it when Saul, they go over and they're told to destroy the Amalekites. To kill them all, not to leave anything standing, not a house, not a building, not a woman, child, not a king, not a beast is to be left alive. They are all to be destroyed. And when they come back, they pick out the best things. The best sheep, the best cattle, the best oxen, and they're bringing those things back. And Saul, we know that he transgresses because he brings back Agag. And then when Samuel confronts him, he says, why have you transgressed the commandment of God? And he says, well, I don't know what you're talking about. Have y'all ever heard the bleating of sheep in your life? I have in mine. He said, what meaneth the lowing of the cattle and the bleating of the sheep? And then the question's posed. Then after he poses that question, he says, oh, the people. The people done it. Now, I got a question for you. And this is what he said. The people done it that they might bring it back and offer it up unto you. Now, I got a question to you, brother. If God had already passed judgment on those things, and they were not worthy to be delivered out of there, but they were to be destroyed over there where they were at, they were to be killed, there was not to be anything brought back, do you think in any way, shape, form, or fashion that would be a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord? No. Why? Because it was not worthy to be offered unto the Lord. Judgment had already been passed upon it. It was not worthy to be brought back out of that land. Brethren, we all together become filthy and unprofitable. Now, what do you have in your flesh, that is in your nature, that is worth that which is eternal? I tell you what you got. You got a nature that comes from Father Adam, and you can't help but pass it to your children. People say, oh, well, kids, they just need to be built up. No, they don't. They come here perfectly equipped to be puffed up. You don't have to teach children to tell a lie. You don't have to teach children to transgress. You have to teach them to share. You have to teach them to be obedient. You have to teach them to be... Why? Because by nature, they have the same desires of the flesh that we all have of the flesh. By nature. Who maketh thee to differ? Or what do you have that you have not received? The point in going to where I went to is to prove to you, brethren, you don't have anything that could acquire that which you have received. You don't have anything remotely close or in value to that which is eternal because, by the way, you are mortal and because of transgression you will die. Therefore, you are not immortal, you are mortal. You don't have anything in and of yourself that is in your flesh that is worth a drop in the bucket. If you let me explain it that way. It's not a dust of a bounce in what is owed. You know what it takes to purchase something which is eternal? Something which is eternal. That's why God sent His Son. He sent Him who's eternal to purchase that which is eternal for us. Because, brethren, when you understand we were absolutely flat broke, that means you're flat broke. It ain't, well, there's a little bit of good. There is none good. No, not one. When God looked down from heaven, there's something, and somebody prays, say, what do you have that you have not received? Now, if thou did receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou had received it? Does that happen today? I had a fellow ask me, how many souls you saved? I said, just as many as Billy Graham. He looked at me. Well, you're a pretty big preacher, aren't you? I said, yes, sir, that many right there. None. If Billy Graham could deliver you, if Luke Blair could deliver you, God wouldn't have had to send Jesus Christ to deliver you. That's who it took to deliver you. He's the one that has given it to you. And He said that it is a free gift. He gives it to His children. It's not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to His own grace and purpose, which has given it to us. That's why it was given to us. According to grace, unmerited favor. It means you didn't deserve it. Some people say, now, what do you have that you have not received? What we have, brethren, and where we received it from is from the Father. We have an inheritance. And we're hearing the reading of the last will and testament of our elder brother, of our Father, who's rich. Don't forget He's rich. I was talking to a sister out front. She said, I love that shirt. I love that color purple. I said, yeah, Brother Philip doesn't like it. She said, well, my daddy's a king. Ain't that good news? My daddy's a king too. My daddy is the king. He's Lord of lords, King of kings. Our Father is in the heavens. Brother, He's got the cattle of 1,000 hills. All the gold of Ophir, it's His. Oh, how blessed we are. And why have we received that? It's because we're made heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. That's why we have an inheritance. That's why we receive it. We ought not think that we have done something to receive it, brethren. We ought not be so boastful to think we, as the dust of the earth, have done anything in the slightest to receive that. Who maketh thee to differ? What makes you rejoice in this glorious gospel? What makes you a worm, a dust of the earth, nothing and less than nothing? What makes you worthy of the least of the mercies of God? Who maketh thee to differ? Why is it that the preaching of that cross, oh, brethren, it's the power of God? Because of a term called election. That's why. Because God has a people, and He's redeemed this people. This is thought is brought forth in the 9th chapter of Romans. And you know, folks hate to hear the word election, but I just want to show you, brother. Election's in the Bible. Predestination's in the Bible. Some people say, it's not in mine. I said, oh, yes, it is. They said, no, it's not. I cut those pages out. Well, let me tell you something. It's in the Bible. The 9th chapter of Romans, some people will say, well, brother, this thing you're talking about, it's not talking about us today. That was applicable back then. This was a natural national election. I want us to look here and let's examine in Scriptures for a moment what's taking place. Who makes thee to differ? Romans 9 chapter. I'm going to skip on down. He says this. I can't skip down. Third verse. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. They had all the oracles of God. They had the law. They had the tabernacle. They had a high priest. They were blessed with these things. Whose are the fathers, and as whom concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. And then He says, not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Now this is an interesting statement just taking place right here. They are not all Israel which are of Israel. Now, He's making a point right here that they're not all a national Israel by blood that are Israel. And He's going to go on to say, and after all, I want you to keep in mind who He's writing to. to the brethren that are at Rome, these brethren are Gentiles. You think there's a reason he's telling them about this? Yes, brethren. Well, if this doesn't pertain to us Gentiles today, why in the world was Paul inspired by God for this to pertain to the Gentiles of that day? It does pertain to the Gentiles of this day, because what he's fixing to show us is that just as in there was a natural election, that is a picture of something that is much greater. That is a picture of something that is amazing. It's a picture of something that represents a people that are more numerous than the stars of the heavens and the sands of the sea, a people who are far more blessed than any other people on the face of the planet. They're not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they're the seed of Abraham are they the children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, this time will I come and Sarah will have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said to her, the elder shall serve the younger. Now, if what he's speaking of was merely being natural Israel, then we have a serious problem. Because right here, we have two boys who have the same mama and the same daddy, and they are the lineage. They're in that lineage. Here's where it comes from Abraham. But it's not because they're children of Abraham. I have a place in Scripture where he says that God is able, these stones, to raise up children of Abraham. Why? Because God can raise up children of promise. That's who the one has to call them. That's the one that maketh thee. Who maketh thee the different? God maketh thee the different. What is Israel? Who is Israel? What is represented in that? When over in Genesis, if we go and we look at it over there, this is what's said. When the angel of the Lord comes to her, says, two nations are in thy womb. Two nations. Same mama, same daddy, two nations. Now, that would cause some concern for me. Somebody told me my wife was having twins and there's two nations in her womb, and I know that I'm her husband and she's my wife. There's two nations. What nation is he talking about? Because it's not a natural nation, because surely they're both of the same nationality, because they both have the same mama and the same daddy. He's not talking about that. You can divide people up on the face of the earth in all kind of ways, shapes, forms, or fashions. You could say blondes, you could say brunettes, you could go by eye color, you could go by skin color, which most predominantly is what's done. You could go by any different things. But I'm going to tell you something. When you talk about this right here, this is how all the people of the world spread up. Right here. Two nations. Children of promise. The Lord's children. Jacob. Chosen. Do you remember Jacob's name was changed to Israel? Jacob wrestled with the Lord all night. And this is what he was said. You can get this in Deuteronomy 32. I think verse 7. No. Not there. That's where Jacob's a lot of the... Jacob's a lot of his inheritance. The Lord's people. This is a lot. I have to turn over there and get this. Hold on a minute. The Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. So now he's going to tell us what this Israel represents. It represents the lot of his inheritance. Two nations. One represents the lot of his inheritance, which is what? His people. What's the other represent? Not his people. Okay, that's what's represented here. What do you have that you have not received? Who maketh thee to differ? Jacob is the lot. You understand what the word lot means? He is a representative. That's what that means. One time in a tie, my youngest son was watching RFD TV, and they showed some pretty fine black heifers on there. And there was about 10 of them, 12 of them, that was in the picture, in the camera view. And they said, this is lot number such and such and such and such. And Ty said, Daddy, we need to buy those heifers right there. What he didn't understand is about 350-something that went with those six. They were a representative of the whole. Jacob is a representative of the whole. That's what Jacob represents. He's the lot. He's a representative of what? The Lord's people. Who made Jacob to differ? God made Jacob to differ. Because why? He's chosen of God. Who maketh thee to differ? Brethren, it's not you, and it's not the fine works you do, it's not the things you do. I'll tell you this, brethren, the thing that maketh us to differ is who our Father is. That's what maketh us to differ. Our Father, being who He is, makes us to differ. And because of that, we can gather and we can rejoice in this gospel. Because of that, we gather desiring to hear about our inheritance. Because of that, we desire to know the things that God has for His children. Why? Because we feel to be His children. Why are we made to be His children? Because we're so good? A lot of people say this. They say, oh, that predestination business, that election business, Brother Luke, this is what happened. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the inhabitants of men to see who was going to choose Him, who was going to do good, and who was going to seek after Him. I said, well, you got part of that right. Go look at it. It's in Psalms about 14. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the inhabitants of men to see if there was any that did good, if there's any that sought after Him. You know what He found? None. Not a one. Not a one. Brethren, who maketh thee the difference? Why is it on a Friday night you gather in a place to, as Brother Philip was talking before at supper, he said, you know, it's a strange thing to watch people eat. He said, I like watching people eat. It's kind of a crude thing for people to do. It's a strange thing. But we have a desire to do it. Sometimes we do it not because we are hungry, just to prevent getting hungry. But why is it that we can gather? We can have a brother just about, as Brother Philip said, nearly holler at us the whole night, and we leave rejoicing. That's a strange thing, isn't it? It's because of what kind of people you are. Who maketh thee the different? God maketh thee the different. Brother, not only has He given us this eternal glory that we have, it says over in Timothy, not only do we have this eternal glory, this inheritance that we hear about, but brethren, we're made to partake of the salvation which is in Christ Jesus our Lord while we live here. Why is it that this is so sweet? Because of whose people we are. We're the Lord's people. His people. That's what maketh thee the difference. That's why this gospel means something. That's why this gospel is not hid. That's why it's revealed. Now, before I leave here, I don't want y'all to think, well, that preacher thinks that everybody that's the Lord's people is going to be able to... You have the capacity and ability to comprehend the gospel, but it doesn't mean that everyone will. And I'll tell you why. Here's the proof text. Over there in Romans 11th chapter, verse 26. And so all Israel shall be saved. That's good news, brethren. As it is written, there shall come out a sign, the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. It says, one who prevails with God. Who maketh thee to differ? God does. Because why? We prevail with God. With man, these things are impossible. With God, they're made possible. He says, and so all Israel shall be saved as written. There shall come out a sign, a Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, that I shall take away their sins. And then he says this, as concerning the gospel, their enemies for your sakes. Y'all ever met somebody that's touching the gospel that was your enemy? Yeah, I have. He says, but as touching election, they're beloved for the Father's sakes. You know what that shows me right there? An individual can be an enemy as touching the gospel, but they can be beloved of God as touching election. Who maketh thee to differ? God does. How does He do it? Because He's elected you. Because He placed you in something, in a very precious place, in His Son, Jesus Christ. He done that before the foundation of the world. He done that not because you were so good, or you got yourself so cleaned up, or you were so perfect. He done it because He loved you with an everlasting love. And He's revealed it unto you by His Spirit. And not only do we have that hope of eternal glory, Christ in us the hope of glory, but we have this precious salvation in Christ Jesus that we rejoice in hearing the gospel of our Lord, our Savior, our King, our Father proclaimed. And it gives us hope while we live in this world. May the Lord bless you.